Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. Have you ever felt that everything you touched did not turn to gold, but instead just went from good to bad to worse? I mean, everything you believed in, everything you tried to do. Well, my guest today faced that very dilemma. In 2014, Zach Wendall went from bad to worse. He always had a plan, though, well, at least until that time. Now he's broken. He was lost. He started to contemplate everything that he had believed in. Now, he'd grown up as a Christian, but things were so bad, he realized he really had no idea what that meant. So he started to look at religion in a very different light. He started to look at Christianity in America specifically, and he realized that every single religion outside of Christianity took their faith seriously. But here in the United States, Christians rarely read their Bibles, and the ideals that are labeled as Christian can be very skewed from one faith to another. So he went on a mission. He decided to read the Bible straight through, not in a year, but in 90 days. He wanted to seek the truth. And he understood that God's word is the truth, so he set out to seek the truth. Long story short, he came to some magnificent revelations. And the very first one he encountered was in Genesis chapter 1. Praise God. Zach Wendall has helped thousands of people better understand the Bible and grow closer to God through his company, The Brand Sunday. I can't figure out how he got that before I could think of it. But anyway, he's the author of several books, including The Bible Study. There's another great title for a book. Who'd ever thought about that? But his recent book, Launch with God, How to Build a Business That Matters and Live Out Your God-Given Purpose. We're going to be discussing that today. Help me welcome to the program, Zach Wendall. Zach, thank you for taking the time to come on the program today.
Pastor Robert, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. Really appreciate you.
Amen. Now, the first question I always start with is this. Other than that brief information I just shared, can you tell us in your own words, who is Zach Wendall?
Yes. So Zach Wendall is, I'm the CEO of a company called The Brand Sunday. So we create resources to help believers grow in their faith and to understand the Bible a little bit better. I've realized that so many people, especially my age, are overwhelmed by the Bible. They think it's boring or complicated. They don't know where to begin. So we really create products to solve that need. Whether you're a new believer or you have been a believer for a long time, we really hold your hand as you walk through the Bible.
Amen. Amen. And you describe your book, Launch with God, as a framework for someone to launch a profitable business that matters. And this book is for people who basically feel their God-given purpose is entrepreneurship, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So we put together a little framework of understanding kind of your role on earth, how you can co-create with God and bring heaven to earth in every moment. And then from there, figuring out what you want to bring into the world, what product you can create, and then figure out how that can impact the world around you. And then we put together a launch strategy to get it out into the world. And the final step is figuring out your God-given purpose and living inside of that.
Amen. And the first part of the book discusses partnering with God. Now, you hear that many ministries discuss, partner with this ministry, and they're referring to financial support. But that's not what you mean by partnering with God, am I right?
No, not at all. No. I believe that every single day it's our role to bring heaven to earth, no matter what we're working on. And I believe that God has put specific tasks and talents and plans inside each one of us. And every day, I believe that those can be worked out through, in this case, entrepreneurship.
Amen. Amen. Because you describe in your book, there is no secular job. Can you share what you mean by that statement?
Yeah, I think so many people look at Christians or when they become a Christian, they're like, oh, the greatest thing I can do is become a pastor, or the really spiritual, the really holy jobs are working for a church. But I don't agree with that at all. I think you can work in corporate and you can make it spiritual. I think you can have a coffee shop and make it spiritual, not by making it having crosses all over and Bible verses on your bags, but making sure that your employees and the bean growers have a fair wage and everybody's treated kindly, and then maybe part of your proceeds goes to helping homeless in your area or whatever it is. I think there's so many small little tasks that you can or little things that you can put into your business plan that will impact those around you.
Yeah, amen. Amen. I share that same concept because, you know, yeah. Matter of fact, in your book, I had to laugh when you said, not everybody's called to be a pastor.
And yes.
That is what most Bible schools focus on, is developing pastors, you know, and
totally.
The fivefold ministry. And that's what most people who are called to ministry believe. You know, if I'm called to ministry, I have to be a pastor. I have to open a church and all that.
Right.
I thought the same thing, you know, way back in 1995 when God called me into the ministry, you know, before I went to school, I became an evangelist and I traveled to various towns to hold meetings thinking, you know, well, that's what all the big name TV gurus, you know, are doing, right?
Yeah.
And I actually would rent out hotel rooms, run ads in the newspaper, even rented a theater one time. And I mean, it worked so well, people stayed away by the thousands.
Yeah.
at one event, I had a whopping 7 people in a 500-seat auditorium.
Oh, man.
And it still took me 10 years to discover I wasn't called to do that. which, you know,
yes.
I mean, when I went to Bible school, though, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, they're training, you know, you're going to be in ministry and all that. But then the revelation came to me one day. Every Christian is called to be in the ministry. Every single Christian is called to ministry. You may not be in the fivefold ministry because you're either called to go, which is the fivefold ministry, you're called to help those that go, which is the ministry of helps, you know, working as secretary and all this stuff in the church and all that. Or you're called to send those that go.
Yeah.
That's as we were alluding to, you know, taking your finances and supporting ministry work. But every Christian is called to some for one of those three areas of ministry. Every Christian. Some overlap, but you know, you don't have to be a pastor. And I found out the hard way.
You
don't have to be a pastor, you know? Amen.
Yes. I think it's like from personal experience, because the reason I'm so passionate about it is because I don't feel called to be a pastor, but I still feel called to create tools to help people grow in their faith.
Absolutely.
And so I believe that one of my spiritual gifts is the gift of giving. And so, like, when it comes to finances, I'm building a business to support other people that are in evangelists, that are missionaries, that are out doing it even more on the ground than I am.
Yeah, amen. You know, I mean, a little quick story, my listeners know this story, but, you know, we moved from Texas, which is God's country, to Baltimore, Maryland area, which is not God's country. And I say that in jest, but kind of serious. But, and we were looking for a church to join all that and said, well, why don't we just open our own? I mean, you know, here we are. You know, I'm 1 year out of Bible school now. You know, let's open our own church. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
And it grew. I mean, we started with 4. We end up with like 15, but my police responsibilities, I got promoted and was being sent to a different detachment and I was working a different shift. So I wasn't going to be able to be on call as a pastor like I normally would be.
Yeah.
So we merged our church with a friend of mine and, you know, within 6 months, I was appointed as one of the chaplains for our department. So I was still in the ministry the whole time I was a cop.
Yep.
But that's when I realized, you know, I really didn't enjoy being a pastor. That was not my calling, you know?
Yeah.
And then we talked about, you know, everything that happened that put me in this situation here. And, and all of a sudden, this is my passion.
Yeah.
This is
absolutely
my calling.
And
I help so many people now get the word out. That's all we do. That's our ministry mission statement is get the word out. And we do that by helping others get the word out. and through yeah. radio station, through podcasting, podcast training, you know, all these different avenues that we help other yeah. people spread the gospel. That's our
totally. Part.
Now, I still do preaching and teaching and stuff like yep. that. But, you know, and they said, well, why do they call you pastor? Well, because yeah. I was a pastor of a church, everybody in town started calling me pastor. And it's kind of like, you know, yep. once you're a senator or a mayor. You know,
for sure.
In 20
you're
years,
always
later,
that.
Say, hey, Mr. Mayor, you know, stuff like
yeah,
that.
So, yeah,
it's like right. the title stuck, you know.
It goes with so, you. Yep. Yeah. No, right. I love it. And I think a lot of people just need to be told that. They need to be told, like, it's okay. You don't have to be a pastor. That is not, like, the number one role if you're a Christian. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, the pastors are, you know, I mean, you got, you know, what is it? Apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yep. you could be a teacher. Well, I don't like
totally.
Teaching people. You're teaching your kids.
And, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's... Yeah,
that's so good. Yeah, you know, absolutely.
You're there. That's fivefold. That's fivefold ministry. We just
yeah.
covered. You don't have to be in the fivefold ministry. You
know? Right, right, right. Exactly.
But you say if you're called to be an entrepreneur, it's not to be a secular entrepreneur, but it means you have to make your entrepreneurship spiritual. Can you
yes.
explain that for us?
Yeah, absolutely. As what I was talking about with the coffee is like, you don't have to have a Christian coffee business. You can just have a really good coffee business. You don't have to be a Christian plumber. You can just be excellent at your craft. And I think God is a God of excellence. And so everything that we put out should be focused on excellence. And yeah, if you want to put a cross on the bottom of your or on the back of your shoes, if you're making shoes, great, but it's not necessary. I think when it comes to showing that your faith, it comes down to what are you doing to impact the kingdom around you? So what is your neighborhood being? How are they being influenced? How is your city being influenced? How is your state being influenced? And that could be through giving. It could be through providing clothes. If you're a clothing maker, giving clothes to the homeless. There's so many different ways to bring the kingdom into our day-to-day life. It doesn't have to be focused on cramming the gospel down somebody.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I mean, a member of our, we have a local pastoral group, I guess you could say, where it's an interfaith, just pastors coming together. I mean, we got Baptists
yeah.
and Pentecostals and Methodists and Presbyterians and all that. And they just
yeah.
meet every 2 weeks for coffee and pray
yep.
for each other and talk about
amazing.
And pray for the community. And yeah. it's like the only one in the area doing this. And
yeah.
you know, but so much gets done. If one church is
right.
holding a big meeting, then all the pastors
yeah.
will go. They'll promote it in their churches. You know, so you got
wow.
a Presbyterian church promoting a Baptist revival, you know, type
yeah.
of thing, right?
Unbelievable.
But you're impacting the community.
Totally.
With what you're doing.
Right.
And
we are like
that's what we're called to do is help each other.
Period. Right. The body of Christ is one, and there's so much division right now. And I think the devil loves making division within the church. But man, just the fact that you guys pray for each other and get together and encourage each other on is so amazing. And I think so many different areas could learn from that, because so often we see like, oh, they go to that church. But in reality, we're
exactly.
all in the same body. We should be
exactly.
building up the church, period. Not this church and that church, but
yep.
the church as a whole.
Exactly. So. And then during this COVID thing, you know, they didn't say, okay, nobody can go to a Baptist church. No,
right.
they said, nobody go to church. And everybody's
yeah.
like, what? You're closing the church? You know,
right. Period.
It still amazes me that happened in America. But
yeah. You know,
but anyway,
yep.
that's a story for a different day. But
right.
you had a revelation of sorts just in Genesis yeah. chapter 1. Can you
yes.
explain what your life was like at that point, what happened and what led up to as you were led to read the Bible and then what you found in Genesis
yeah.
chapter 1?
Yeah, I think it goes back to the beginning. So when I was 4 years old, my childhood was very unique compared to a lot of people. When I was four, my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer and was sent home with a 5% chance to live. She ended up being healed from that. Then she had colon cancer with 3/4 of her colon removed, was healed from that, had a tumor on her sciatic nerve, was healed from that, and then had breast cancer with double mastectomy reconstruction, the whole deal, healed from that. So from when I was 4 to 15, I saw her in and out of the hospital constantly and on her deathbed. But she would always tell me every single day, she would say, "Zach, it could get so much worse. I could be gone right now. So every day, see the good, focus on what you do have, and see that this is all a gift. Every single breath that you take is a gift." And so I'm growing up seeing a completely different perspective from what most people see. And I'm seeing God heal my mom time after time after time for my entire childhood. And so I was like, yeah, that's who God was. He was a healer and he loved us, and every single day is a gift because of him. But even though I had that understanding, when I hit college, I still fell away from my faith for a while. I wanted to do my own thing. I think my problem at the time was more so, it had nothing to do with God, but it had everything to do with the Christians that I was surrounded by. And I just didn't necessarily want to be associated with them. And so I let my problem with other people influence my relationship with God and push me away for years, really. And then in 2014, I hit a low spot in my life. I had the business I was working for was just bought out. I had just broken up with a girlfriend that I was in a relationship with. A project that I was working on had fallen through. It was this TV show idea. And everything came to a halt in one day. And I was like, man, what am I supposed to do? Like, God, are you actually good? Do you have a plan for my life? Because I've been chasing after all these different business ideas and nothing has picked up the way that I expected them to. And I ended up moving out to Australia for a while. And, cause I wanted to get away and not be on the same time zone as everybody that I knew back in the States and be able to focus all my attention on just studying the Bible. So we would study for 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. And say it was Genesis week, you'd literally read Genesis 5 times through during the week and essentially write your own commentary by the end of the week. It was so intense. And I mean, day one, like Genesis one, my life has changed because I'm actually seeing what the Bible is about and not just what my church had told me in the past and not just what I had heard from a sermon, but like, this is my faith now and I'm not living off of somebody else's faith. And so that entire experience completely changed my life. And by the time I got home from Australia, I knew that I needed something, or I had to do something with what I had put together when I was out there. And I thought I was going to go back out to Australia to teach the Bible, but God had different plans for me. He gave me a vision, always does. All of a sudden, one night as I'm praying about it, I had a full vision for this thing called the Bible study. I saw the logo, the layout, the plan of attack, everything in the moment. I knew exactly what I needed to do. And so I ended up spending the next year developing what's called the Bible study. And over the last 3 years, it's grown into, I mean, we have 5 people on our staff full-time. We have about 25 freelancers that we work with, and we've helped hundreds of thousands of people understand the Bible better and grow closer to God. And it's not a deep dive into scripture that we do through the Brand Sunday. We like to hold your hand as you read through the Bible and have the study help you grow a little bit deeper. So
that's awesome.
It's been amazing. Awesome.
Amen. So let me, I get, because of what you just said, I guess your Bible kind of looks like this.
Yeah.
Highlighted
yes.
and notes and
exactly.
all that.
Exactly.
Because that's when I see something that just jumps off me, I start taking notes right there in the Bible and say, why don't you write it down separate? Because if I'm preaching somewhere on this, I want to remember that point so I can bring it out.
Oh, that's absolutely. And yeah, there's so many amazing options with Bibles now with the extended, like the journal side. So you have room for notes. And I love a colorful, beat up Bible.
Yeah, absolutely. This one I bought, it was right after I entered the ministry. So it was 1995. Yeah.
Wow.
I order a nude version of the Bible every single year. So it's been 27 years. Over here on my bookshelf is all these different Bibles, and that's what I read that year. I want to.
Yep.
So I got all these different versions, you know, the NIV and, you know, ESL, all that, you know, the Message and the Amplify. And but they say, why do you do that? Because I'm still studying the Word.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a different perspective on it.
You know? Totally.
But when I go preach,
that's so good.
This is the Bible I use because it's got all the notes in it.
Right. Absolutely. I've actually been wanting to do that. One of my mom's really close friends does that, where every single year she gets a new Bible and she beats it up. And it's awesome to see just her stack of Bibles after decades of doing it. I definitely want to do that.
My grandkids, they're grown now, but I remember my grandson came in. He was about 14, 15. He looked at just the Bibles here and says, Papa, did you read all them? I goes, many times, more than once.
Yes. I love it.
Amen. Oh, praise man. So when you seen that God creates, what did that mean for you?
Yeah, I think it really struck a nerve within me. So when I was 7 years old, I started my first business, as you do as a seven-year-old. And so I was, we spent like a month down in Florida every year growing up. I'm from Minneapolis originally. And I would create these necklaces out of shark teeth and different shells. And I would walk up and down the beach selling these different necklaces. And literally as a seven-year-old making hundreds of dollars off of these necklaces. And then that kind of continued
on. The beach.
Yeah, literally. Right. And that continued on for the next 20 years, really.
Wow.
So I was doing clothing lines. I owned a recording studio for a while. I was working on a TV show. And so when I hear and I read like of God creating, that's all I do. All I do is create. I love the creation process. That's what gets me fired up more than anything, is like sitting down and grinding it out and spending time creating something new from nothing, because our brains are so amazing, and God's given all of us so many incredible ideas. And so to tap into that and to take a blank piece of paper or a blank page on your computer, and the cursor's blinking, or your pen, you just take your cap off, and to be able to put something new onto that piece of paper is so awesome to me. And so I really see, like, man, if we're made in the image of God, God has given us that ability to create something from nothing. And so there's an old rabbi named Abraham Joshua Heschel, and he was quoted as saying, words create worlds, which we see in Genesis 1. And
good.
I think that's so true. Like, our words create the worlds around us. In Proverbs, it's life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so we get to choose between that every single day with what we put out into the world and what we allow into ourselves.
Wow.
And so I think it's so important for us to always focus on, as Paul says, things that are honorable and pure and holy and lovely and good for us. And so I think everything that comes out of our mouth, whether it's creating something new or just in conversation with the people around us, that we should be building people up, and we should be transforming somebody else's life, because you have no idea what they're going through, because a lot of people may not share.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Yeah, and you have a saying in your book that God's story continues even today. Can you explain that for us?
Yeah, I think obviously the Bible, the story isn't over. I think at the cross, at the resurrection, was the kingdom beginning to come to earth, and I believe that the future is heaven and earth merging and Jesus coming back. And so until we get to there, things aren't over. So we have a role, a job to do. We have, we can spread the kingdom now. So, every single day, God's story is still being written of how he's, impacting the world around us.
But how does someone find themselves in God's story, as you share in your book?
Yeah, I think we need to look at what God has given us. And so when it comes to our talents, what talents has God put in us? What passions has he put in us? What spiritual gifts has he put in us? And what experiences have we had in the past? And I think they all line up to create something new. And we can take that and bring that into our future and bring that into the story that God is creating. So whether that's if you are an entrepreneur specifically, I think you can take all of those things that God has really put inside of you to develop something new and to create a business out of it, essentially.
Amen. That's I think the term you used in your book was lean into your talents.
Yes. Right. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, because I think so often people want to focus on things that we're bad at in order to be more well-rounded. But from my perspective, I think forget about the things that you're terrible at and double down on your strengths and focus on those and then hire out for your weaknesses. For me, when it comes to building a team, there are a lot of things that I'm really bad at. And so why would I waste so much of my time figuring out how to become subpar at something when I can hire somebody that's incredible at it and that's what they specialize in and surround myself with all of them? I never want to be the smartest person in the room. I always want to hire people that are way smarter than me because it not only makes me look smarter, but it also makes the business grow in incredible ways. And I know you have a passion for team building. So yeah, do you relate to that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and when I started reading that in your book, you know, I just, you know, was like, oh man, I wanted to jump up and down and run around and shout hallelujah 35 times, you know. Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of this great interview with Zach Windhall. I'm telling you, just talking with Zach today should be motivating you to take the Bible more seriously. I mean, I'm starting to get excited just interviewing him. Amen. I pray you are as well. But the good news is, this is just part one of a great two-part interview. You need to make sure that you come back for the next episode because Zach is just starting to get into the deep stuff now. Glory to God. If you thought the first part was great, just wait until you hear what he shares in part two. Now, right now, you need to go down in the show notes and order Zach's book, Launch with God, How to Build a Business That Matters and Live Out Your God-Given Purpose. Amen. Do it right now while you're thinking about it. And don't forget to join us for the conclusion of this great interview. Until next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faith caster. Faith casters, your voice, your platform, your success.